Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Just the noise, the fans, the whole Flock Nation just in the building, feeling like they on the field with us. The lights, how they do the lights, you know, certain parts of the game. Keeping the ball in our hands, keeping them away from those guys, those scripts. Don't throw the ball into traffic, stuff like that. What we should be knowing, we should not do. I'd rather not be cold. But you said we got Derrick Henry, so that's a bonus. It's great, man. It's great, man. I don't believe nobody like hitting in the cold. Like, no one's like, not even the defenders like hitting in the cold, I believe. Especially with like a 250-pound almost running back running downhill at you, I wouldn't want to do it. But it's great for us. Now, my mind going forward, I don't really think, I was young in the beginning, like, and it happened fast, like. To be honest with you, the only one I do think about is the AFC Championship. That's probably the only playoff game I do think about. Like, it was right there. But my mind, I'm focused now, though. Like, it is what it is at this point.
Lamar Jackson talking about various subjects ahead of the wild card matchup with the Steelers coming up Saturday, 8 o'clock, M&T Bank Stadium. Ravens, big favorites in the third meeting between the two teams. But he was asked about the previous playoff games and the ones that he thinks about, and he mentioned last year's the AFC Championship game as they were 60 minutes away from getting that Super Bowl that he wants really bad. Mentioned the wild card game against the Chargers when his rookie season, yep, he only started for half that year, but his 6-1 performance helped get them in that wild card round. And we'll hear from Lamar also talking about, you know, being amped up and why the performance dips significantly. For instance, now, I guess this is going to be a talking point for as long as the Ravens last in the playoffs. His QBR, ESPN was talking about it last night. Well, this morning I watched the replay. QBR from the regular season to the postseason since they started keeping QBR 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nerd stat, you know, 20 years old. The most significant drop other than Andy Dalton, his QBR drops dramatically in the playoffs. And we'll get to the stats. Well, 2-4, 1-3 at home, 6 touchdowns, 6 picks, quarterback rating in the 70s when, you know, this year he had one almost 120, had one of the greatest years ever. So it's regular season Lamar versus playoff Lamar. And we know what's happening here. By the way, it's Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny and Annie, Bob Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Lamar has reached the stage of his career where whatever he does in the regular season, great.
Yep.
Win another MVP, awesome. What are you doing in the playoffs? And all the, and there's plenty of them, unfortunately, locally in particular, lying in wait for failure to pounce. Because all of the critics have been silent, at least on these airwaves, for a while. Because how in right mind can you call into a Baltimore radio station and say Lamar Jackson sucks?
No.
No, he doesn't. But if he stinks in the playoffs, oh, those people, that Rockins turnover, and we'll hear from him in a big, big way.
He has not had a, like what we call just Lamar being Lamar. He has not had a game like that in the playoffs. And that's what he has got to do. And it, he had a His playoff game was like the first Steeler game when they lost. That was like a playoff game for him, the way he played. You know, he didn't he was like off, like in stressing or panicking or whatever. He just needs to be cool, calm, collective Lamar and do his thing. And that's why if they're going to play man coverage just like Cleveland did last week, I think we're going to see Lamar take off and run. And that might be a good thing for him to kind of get him comfortable. And plus, having, like he had mentioned, having Derrick Henry, I think that is kind of a nice piece because he's right. I mean, you go out there, and when it's cold, you don't want to hit something. You know, I mean, that it hurts like hell. You know, in the summertime it hurts, but in the wintertime, oh my gosh, your hands are freezing. You know, you got those gloves on and you're cold, your toes are cold, and then you got to go hit 250 pounds of muscle? Nah. So hopefully that is the thing that gets them over the hump starting Saturday.
But to your point, and Ken Wyman and myself talked about it, what you were saying here Saturday before the Browns game, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show brought to you by Rice, Smith & Preserves at the Brewer Brothers, what will be starting at 5 on Saturday. He's never had a opening kick to the final gun Lamar. He's had Lamar moments.
Yes.
Second half against Houston last year in the divisional round. The seal the deal run and touchdown against Tennessee in 2020. But by and large, he hasn't had a 146 quarterback rating game in the postseason. In that debacle against Tennessee after 19, he put up gaudy numbers, but they were playing from behind.
Right.
And playing desperate. So, yeah, if he just does Lamar stuff for the first 45 minutes of the game, I don't see this being a game, quite frankly.
Well, the thing about it is if he comes out of this game, Bob, and he's got 115 quarterback rating, I would just say watch out, because then he's like, okay, he understands it now. He's got it. But let me just say this. Watching the Steelers game last week, watching a film this morning, they played their ass off against the Bengals. They did a hell of a job against that Bengals offense. They gave up 19 points to, you know, to Burrow and Higgins and all those guys. And the guy that was hurting them was Freiermuth. Yeah, or not Freiermuth. The Penn State guy. The other Penn State guy.
Gesicki.
Gesicki was, you know, catching some balls. But Pittsburgh played hard. And their secondary played good. So Derrick Henry is going to have to be a big part. And they got after Burrow pretty good, those ends.
And we know that they could put pressure on the quarterback. Yep. The Ravens have done a pretty commendable job,
number
I guess.
Two.
Yeah, for getting to the quarterback, but protecting Lamar, and Lamar's elusiveness has a lot to do with that. But we got plenty to get into. Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Favorite female artist or band. 410-583-1057 is the number. Plaza for text line. Ravens big favorites, as we said, in this matchup. Nolan McGraw, get in here. Lamar Jackson, we know you're a big fan. You got a number 8 tattooed on your left thigh, which is very commendable in and of itself for you. I mean, you ride and die with your team. But are you nervous to any level about Lamar, who himself, and we'll listen to it, admitted he gets a little skittish there in the postseason versus how relaxed he is in the regular season?
Yeah, it's a concern. It's in the back of your head. I think anyone that's telling you that they're 100% confident and this is going to be smooth sailing no matter what, they're lying to you. They're lying to themselves. This is his track record in the postseason. You love him to death, but the main issue has been, outside of the Texans' win last year, when things are going wrong, very rarely has he been able to reverse course and do a 180 and get things back in their favor. Even the Titans' win from 2020, things were not going their way early. He had an interception. He had that long touchdown run that kind of flipped it back a little bit, but it was still like coming down to the wire. You were biting your nails to the finish. And of course, Marcus Peters seals it with the pick. But it wasn't until that Texans game last year in the second half where he really showed that he could pull away in a playoff game and overcome early shortcomings.
And then the Kansas City game wasn't great, you know, after that. So Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I would say this about the Steelers. The Steelers coming in got to have questions about themselves losing four in a row. I mean, they're not coming in the confident. They may have false enthusiasm, you know, but they're not like coming in like the Ravens are on a heater. The Bengals or the Steelers are like, what team's showing up?
And also, too, as we talk about Lamar's struggles in the playoffs and John Harbaugh versus Mike Tomlin, recent history is way in favor of the Steelers. We brought this up yesterday. Mike Tomlin, we'll hear it again. They haven't won a playoff game since after the 2016 season. Yeah. So their drought has been pretty prolonged. And, you know, a lot of coaches would have been way fired by now with that sort of lack of success in the playoffs. So if they fall short against the Ravens, and the odds makers think they will, I think they will. I don't want to speak for you guys. We'll do our picks on Friday. But what happens if they go quietly into the night? You got two free agent quarterbacks. So you talk about unsettled quarterback situations. Pittsburgh now becomes another one of those teams. And how are they going to acquire it? You got Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow you're chasing in this division. Cleveland and Pittsburgh looking ahead. But it's Steelers week. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057 is the number. We'll go down the playoff matchups, the wild card round. A lot of rematches in this one, including Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Round three of this one, college football playoffs start, or resume, I should say, on Thursday. We'll get into all of that and more. Penn State, Notre Dame. Terps taking on UCLA Friday in college basketball. Men, UCLA got blown out at home last night by Michigan. Actually, they were getting blown out. Actually took the lead. Michigan, by the way, is going to be a problem. They got 2 7-footers in that front line. And then UCLA kind of faded down the stretch. So they've lost two straight. They're coming east. So this is going to be interesting to follow. And everything else going on in between. But we end the first segment on a sad note. Brian Mattis passed away. Oriole pitcher, age of 37. Unexpectedly, it seems, like everyone else, shocked, stunned, 37 years old, number 4 pick in the 2008 Major League Baseball draft, had moments of success as a starting pitcher and reinvented himself, Nolan, during that 2012 through 14 run with the Orioles as they made the playoffs, and he was a very, very prominent part of it. That lefty reliever stuff, he became a very, very effective, especially against David Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
But Rock Abaco was the first to tweet it out. It's like, what?
Just wow. Stunning. 37. It's crazy.
Details, no idea. Tragic, nonetheless. But yeah, when you're 37, professional athlete, and you pass away, you wonder why. But most importantly, we remember Brian Mattis, his contributions to the organization. And I interviewed him 3 times. Nice guy. Big community advocate, which is always something that endears you to the fan base. And we'll talk to Mike Bordick about this later in the show. And remember, Bordy was doing the Oriole games when Brian Mattis was a pitcher there. So Brian Mattis passing away at the age of 37. Stunning news coming out of Birdland.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Here. Another stat to point out, he gets sacked a ton in the playoffs, but he just said, gets antsy, things speed up. So, Vinny, if he's recognizing that, how does he rectify that starting at 8 o'clock Saturday night against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing he's got to do is just relax. You know, he, and like he said, you know, it's his seventh year now, and it's not like it's your first time you've been doing this. So, yeah, how does he do it? To me, he's got to figure out how to way to just to be calm and relaxed. Usually, you know, if you're coming in confident, you're usually kind of calm. But, I mean, last year, I mean, Bob, they're 15-2 at a bye. I mean, you should be confident. You're the MVP. You should be confident coming in. But, yeah, he just got to find a way to relax because, I mean, we even heard him say he sees things before they happen. And what he's doing, he's guessing. And he just got to trust. He's got to trust the plan. Trust his eyes. That's the biggest thing. Just trust your eyes. Trust what you see. And just follow your reads. Just do what you've always done. You know, I mean, you drop back and you're looking at, you know, you're reading your coverage over there and the safety. If you got a strong safety and he's got flat coverage, you know you're throwing it a hook and just read your coverage. And what they need to do too, Bob, is what I would do, get him some easy throws early. Get him some easy completion. Just let him feel comfortable, you know. And even if he is, great. But if not, you know, and let him run. Let him get hit.
Right now as we sit, and we'll get to the phones in a second, if he's looking for an easy throw, Zay Flowers not going to be one of those targets right
now?
No.
They say he was with a knee brace in the locker room. I don't think there's any way that he's playing. So I think everybody else will. And Aguilar's back practicing, so, I mean, but the only thing that does, I think the tight end's got to be the major impact dudes. I think likely takes the quick screen stuff. I think like they did in the last game, they gave him a quick screen because he's so good after the catch, and that's what Zay was, making people miss. Because if they want, they can, if they put Porter over on Bateman, you know, that'll make it tough. And then have it's 27 is not. Trice played last time, but Deontay Jackson, I think, is back. Deontay Jackson. So they'll have him, you know, over on the others. And I don't, you know, if it's me, I'm saying, like, we'll take that all day long. And we'll play some man coverage and try to get after him. But the tight ends is the mismatch for the Ravens.
Spinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Nolan McGraw. It is Woman Crush Wednesday. Who we come out with on that song there, Nolan?
Evelyn Champagne King.
All right, Champagne King. Hopefully we're drinking champagne at the end of the football season with the Ravens, but let's get out to the phone. Steelers week, Ravens big favorites, 10 points. As a matter of fact, we'll go to Laurel, started off Francisco. Francisco, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Fan. Happy playoff week.
Happy playoff week, guys. Bob, Vinny, Nolan, it's great hearing you guys. I just want to say, man, Ravens, the last past four games, offense, 135 points scored. And the defense has only allowed 43 points. I think right now we're the scariest team in the NFL. The only team that could beat us is ourselves. But I think we're seeing a different mature level in Lamar, and not just Lamar, but everybody there that's, you know, around him. Derrick Henry, they have so many options. Prayers for Zay Flower, but we still have a lot of threats. We got Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews, who's been balling out lately. I think it's going to be a great, great game at the bank, and I think this is the year we go all the way and we win it. God bless you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Francisco. I like the optimism, and I think I don't want to say Pittsburgh's going to be easy work. I don't want to get that cocky yet on a woman crush Wednesday. But I'm extremely confident in victory, which probably sets up a matchup with Buffalo in the divisional round, depending on how they survive against Denver as big favorites themselves there. That would be an epic matchup. The top two candidates for most valuable player, probably prime time on your Saturday or Sunday night NFL schedule. But first things first, but the way the defense is playing, Vinny, you know the offense could do magical things. But defensively, the way they're playing now, I don't think a nice little four-game run is out of the question at all.
No. And, you know, the only thing, Bob, that's concerning is Stevens on a deep ball. That's still my biggest concern is, and like, they're going to take shots. Now, I mean, that's a given. They're going to take three deep shots with Pickens, you know, on the Raven, probably on Stevens, and they'll probably let any of their receivers go deep on Stevens and just throw that moon ball and just hope that they get a PI. I mean, to me, that's what they're hoping for more than a completion. And that's the only thing that's scary. But the thing, like going back to the defense, the thing you like about the defense, that defensive front's playing their ass off too. You know, and they're going to cause, especially with Russell Wilson, you cause him problems up the middle, he can't see. And if he pulls it down, he's done. Because then he's got to move around, and that's when he really struggles. So I like the defense a lot, you know, the way they're playing and stuff. And I really love the way Marlon Humphrey's playing. I mean, because he's playing really physical, and he's making plays on the ball. He looks like he's playing faster.
Maybe a better all-around the year than 2019, where he was known more for, like, ripping the ball out of people's hands.
No, he's catching the ball and intercepting the ball. But I think playing the spot that Kyle Hamilton played before, you know, last year and stuff, I think that fits him well because he's involved in the run game because he's a physical player. So I think he's engaged a lot because his weakness is deep speed. And now they kind of take that out of his hands and they put Wiggins back there who can run. So I like what they're doing defensively just because the defensive front can control it. And Van Noy is playing well. And so is Owe. So those two guys, they're going to be able to get after him. You know, Hendrickson had, what, 3 sacks or 3.5 sacks last week for Cincinnati, that left tackle for the Steelers. You know, Dan Moore, he was just running around him. And that's kind of the things that Owe can do. And you know they're going to run their stunts and twists and stuff. And last game, Van Noy had 1.5 sacks against the Steelers.
Time for another call. Nolan McGraw, let's do it. Let's go to Baltimore. It is Matt. Matt, thanks for holding. What's happening? You're on Vinny and Haney and Quick Draw here on this playoff week. What's up?
How's it going, fellas? Happy New Year to all y'all. How are you doing today?
Good. All right.
So I don't think it'll be a 37-10 game again at all. But about Lamar, the past few years, I think that the lack of confidence came from, obviously, his lack of confidence in the passing game. He was always overthrowing people, but, I mean, this year he's, like, throwing 45-yard seeds to, you know, Zay Flowers, just perfect, put it right where it needs to be. He didn't do that in past years, you know. And the defense is playing better than ever. I think we're great to get the Steelers in the draw. You know, obviously it's great to see them first round of playoffs. I mean, what better team to see, right? The people that you want to punch in the mouth most. And, the reason I see that they are the best draw to get, I mean, that I'll put it to you like this, Bob. The Steelers, to me, are like a man that can't find his blue chew. Soft.
And that's unacceptable, especially when it's time to perform. It's Vinny at 81057. The Fan, Steve, Hubie, Ed, Boomer, you. Get in at 410-583-1057. Ravens, 9.5-point favorites. That they keep going up and down. I could go with a Blue Chew reference again. You can prevent that by going to BlueChew.com, but you get the drill. We'll talk about that later in the show, but get on in here. Ravens, Lamar Jackson, playoff struggles. Are you concerned? Is it real, or is this just, all right, he's going to go out there, slap around the Steelers, and he's off to the race.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the Fan.
Sing it, baby. Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny and Haney. Nolan McGraw. Bob Haney. Vince Rotto. Quick Draw. We're going to jump, right? For your love. Or her love. Anyway, how about 1984? You had two songs called Jump that were both chart toppers. Jesus. It's English, Bob. Learn how to speak it. Van Halen, of course. Dave Era, the real Van Halen. And then the Pointy Sisters. So how about that? Going back now 41 years. Well, that's another. All right, whatever. Program reminder, everyone. Vinny and Haney and Nolan. We will be at the Green Valley Marketplace in Pasadena. Right down the road from the old Bobster. From 10 to 2, getting you ready for the playoffs. We'll talk about the Maryland-UCLA game and everything going on in your sporting world. Real Fan Dan's going to be there from 11 to 1:30. You know Real Fan Dan, big Ravens. He's like the Big Wheel, Wild Bill Heggie of the current era. Big Wheel was the Colts, Wild Bill, of course, Orioles. Real Fan Dan, Nolan, somebody's taking their clothes off. I think it's going to be me. As a matter of fact.
We went over this, okay? Yeah.
There'd be cannot.
All right.
Why?
The authorities have already been contacted. Oh, you're on a list. It's okay.
And trust me, nobody wants to see that anyway. We're going to have a purple bead giveaway. Also, at Green Valley Marketplace, the food selections for you are immense. Wing bar, mix and match eight flavors from Saturday 12 to 6 and Sunday 4 to 11. They got the new seafood steam pots. Mmm. Perfect for home gating, and I'm guessing that's crabs and shrimp and scallops and mussels. Oh, I might take one of them home with me.
I hear we're getting samples. I can't guarantee that.
A steam pot, I want a pot.
I've been led to believe that we will be sampling some of this.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, me too.
They got beer there. Anyway, and they have the Scratch Bakery, so if you're looking for pastries and fresh bread, it's going to be there 10 to 2. Well, they're there all the time, but we'll be there Friday, Green Valley Marketplace, Pasadena. Get on out and say hi to us. Come by, say hello. Let's talk some sports together here on the Fan. Ravens, 9.5-point favorites. At least that's the line now. Oh. Hello, ESPN Bet. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Steve in Pasadena, or Baltimore, rather. Steve, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing, man? Love your show.
Thanks. I'm thinking about that steamer pot, though. Yes. Sorry about that.
I'm in the hospital, but it's not stopping me from calling in for my favorite show.
What's wrong, Steve, if you don't mind us asking?
I'm on dialysis. My kidneys went out.
Oh, man.
And I was ticking. So I've been here since Christmas. You know?
But we'll get better soon. We want you. We love you. We need you here. And I appreciate you calling it because obviously you got a lot going on in your life right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I know you see Lamar and everybody, but I got a vision for him to let you know. He done win this game, okay? He won this game because that's my vision that I see. Okay, but the thing is, what he got to do, he got to stop hesitating. He got to move. He got to stop hesitating and be frisky. Get back on the bicycle like he was, and the Steelers will never defeat us. I'm telling you. Tell him, get that out to him so that he knows that he done won this game. But he got to do that.
All right.
Back on his bicycle.
You got that right, Steve. Steve, appreciate it. God bless. Hope you feel better and enjoy the game coming up on Saturday. And you said it, and we'll get to Hubie here in a second. You know, I'm guessing Derrick Henry's going to get a heavy workload. But if Lamar doesn't want to be skittish and overthinking, you know, do Lamar stuff. And the best running quarterback in the history of the NFL is who? Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
And getting out in the field, do what you got to do, man.
I think set the tone early. I mean, and Bob, I was just telling you, the first two plays of the game that they played a couple weeks ago, they gave it to Henry. He had 30 yards rushing after two plays. I mean, that settles you down. Then you know what the first pass was? A quick screen. So then you kind of get Lamar in the groove there, and then he's off to the races.
All right, let's get to Hubie in Baltimore. Hubie, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Healthy New Year's, fellas.
Yeah, man, what's going on? Thanks for calling. Hope you're feeling all right today.
Yeah, one thing I'm not going to do is poke the bear. It's quite difficult
playing a team three times within a season, but I believe you guys are spot on when you're speaking about Lamar's psyche. When I listened to him in his commentary, well, when he was replying to how he feels about this playoff thing, I believe he's a little more even keel now because he recognizes that he is a little antsy and he's a little amped up and he needs to just play it just like an ordinary game. He knows the significance of it. He recognizes now that he has a little more experience with it. So I hope he come out, play even keel. I hope that Monken can give him the plays that he needs without Zay to be there to help pull him out of some of the difficulties he might get in. So we're going to see what happens. I just hope he stays even keel and that his psyche is in the right place and we don't have 100 yards worth of penalties.
Right.
That's exactly.
Hey, thanks, Hubie. Appreciate the call. That's another we talked about a little bit yesterday, Vinny, but you know they had 10 penalties last week against Cleveland. And they had tightened up a little bit the previous couple of weeks, but that has been a season-long dilemma for them, the laundry on the field.
Well, last time they played the Steelers, they had 2 for 10. And the Steelers only had 5 for 29. So it wasn't – maybe we could get that crew back again. I don't know, just because crews change all the time. So we shall see. But they've got to eliminate the penalties also. And Bob, the ideal thing is – you know, you get the ball and you take it down your first play, your first drive, and you score a touchdown. That would be ideal. Worst case is Pittsburgh takes it down and drives and scores a touchdown. Then you're behind. And then Lamar may feel it a little bit.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. If you're on the phones, we'll get you when we come back. Childs Walker from the Baltimore Sun. We'll preview the playoff matchup with him coming up at 11 o'clock. Whip around 11:15. A lot going on in the world of sports last evening. We'll address some of that. And then notes from the North at 11:30. Ray Fittipaldi, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Talk about the Steelers, the game. Joe Dannemann, Fox 19. Cincinnati barely missed the playoffs. How do they get back into that dance next year? And then Mike Borman, Big Play Network, talk about the Cleveland Browns. Let's just say it's a franchise in disarray. Ravens, well, they got an interesting officiating crew coming up here. It's Alex Kemp did one Ravens game against the Buccaneers week 7. Ravens committed 9 penalties for 85 yards. They were flagged 11 times. For the year, his group, 59 offensive holding calls. 59!
About 3 a game, right?
Which is tied for the league lead by officials. Also calls false starts a lot, 31. Defensive holding, 18. Delay a game. Well, that kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And then defensive pass interference. So the offensive line will be under great scrutiny by this dude and his crew coming up here.
As Harb says, just keep your hands in tight.
Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. It's the number. Playoff week. Steelers week. Childs Walker, Baltimore Sun, joins us top of the hour. Ed and Arbutus. Ed, thanks for holding. What's up?
Benny, good morning to you, gentlemen.
Morning, Ed.
Oriole thoughts, condolences to family, friends, and teammates of Brian Mattis. Can't believe that. Come out of nowhere. Recent acquisition, Charlie Morton. Understand it and agree. Proven mount asset success with a wealth of experience. Knows how to pitch. Perfect stopgap addition. Bridge arm guy for 1 year until the injury returns. Make it back healthy. Still need to search out an ace. It's got to happen. Anthony Santander. Speculations, but nothing concrete yet. Seemingly, in his career here, perfectly content to hit the baseball in an Oriole uniform. Hometown discounts are frowned upon for the highest bidder, but the home team can pony up to match or exceed it. Could be naive to it all. I don't think he wants to leave. O's fans in the dark don't know how Brass views his talent or if they've made an offer or a counteroffer. The guy can hit and appears to be comfortable here. His bat will be missed. Last thing today, gentlemen, best of luck to Notre Dame and the Ravens. That's it. And I thank you for your courtesy.
All right, Ed. All right, Arbutus. Anthony Santander, market rather cold for him right now. And, you know, all indications are from people who follow the team on a daily basis, he's not coming back. Yeah. And he would have preferred to stay, but now, by no fault of his own, I guess he priced himself out of it. I think the Orioles want better defensive metrics in the outfield. They want more on-base percentage potential. I liked Tony Taters. I said back in February I'd give him 3 for $60 before he hit 44 homers and drove in over 100 runs and made the All-Star team. But everyone figured, experts, that once Soto signed with the Mets, the market would kind of...
Yeah.
No, it has not.
I was listening to MLB yesterday, Bob, and they were saying that... is it Bregman who was with the Detroit?
Alex Bregman,
yeah,
Houston.
They say Bregman and Santander. Detroit wants one or the other. New York could use both. They said Mets and Yankees, and then Toronto's in it too. Like both, those are the next two guys to go. One will take one, and the other will go the other. Is what they were saying yesterday.
It's like Toronto's handing out Monopoly money, though. No, nobody wants any parts of that. I mean, Yankees. You know, Bregman could handle that media scrutiny because he's got some swag to him. I can't say Tony Taters cannot. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to follow. But if you want Santander back in a Baltimore uniform, it appears extremely unlikely to happen. Nolan, let's get back to the phones. We'll go to Boomer in Odenton. Boomer, thanks for holding what is happening. It's a playoff Woman Crush Wednesday.
Hey, Bob. Yeah, first time caller, long time listener, huge Baltimore Ravens fan.
Awesome.
I just saw a stat today that I thought I would share with you guys. So every 12 years in 2001, 2013, and now 2025, the Ravens win the Super Bowl with a 28-year-old quarterback. And I know Hubie would like to appreciate that because he was talking about Lamar's immaturity and he's grown up now, obviously, birthday yesterday. But, Bob, I'm got to tell you, this is our year.
Boomer, I'm feeling the optimism. And ESPN even pointed it out. Trent Dilfer, Nolan, guess how old he was when the Ravens won Super Bowl 35?
28.
Right. You're following along, right? Joe Flacco.
28.
Mm-hmm. And then Lamar just turned 28. Are we connecting the tea leaves, numerology, and all the fun stuff that you believe in that stuff?
And it's in New Orleans.
Since it benefits the Ravens, yes, I believe.
Right. There you go. And Dilfer won it in Tampa, the team that drafted him. So there you go. So these all these connected dot scenarios. All right, let's go to Falston. It's Tim. Tim, what's happening?
Well, guys, speaking of birthdays, Bob Haney, how old are you today? And happy birthday.
I am 60 years old today.
Oh, happy birthday, Bob.
I thought so. 60. You and Elvis Presley, same birthdays.
David Bowie, too.
David Bowie. There you go.
Elvis. Greatness comes in threes.
Pretty good, dude. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, two quick things. First of all, guys, you think 5 or 10 years from now, when Saquon Barkley's sitting in his rocking chair, he's going to regret not going after that record?
If they don't win the Super Bowl, yes. If they win the Super Bowl, no.
Yep, I agree. And they could go out in the first round, especially the quarterback don't play, or second round. I think so, too, Vinny. I mean, he got that close. That's a pretty big record in the NFL.
That's historic record.
Yes, sir. And last but not least, Notre Dame, Penn State tomorrow, guys. What do you think? I think Penn State's happy to be there. I think Notre Dame gets this one. But then Ohio State or Texas, that could be an issue. What do you guys think?
I think whoever stops the run game tomorrow night wins the game. Both want to run it. And whoever can stop the run game, I think they win it. And preferably, I prefer Notre Dame.
Quarterback, Aller or Leonard, if they have to throw the ball?
Aller's better. Because, yeah. Bob, the tight end's a stud for Penn State, 44. He's 6'6", like 260.
Yeah, I don't think either team's just happy to be there by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I think when Penn State, when the pairings and stuff came out, Bob, they saw, SMU Boise? I mean, they would have been disappointed had they not be where they're at.
Yeah, and we'll do our picks for that one tomorrow. But Texas, Ohio State, which is Friday, I'm seeing a little puffy pants action going on here.
Yeah.
Buckeyes are looking really good right now. That quarterback's playing out of his mind.
Yeah, and I think they get pressure on Texas, on Ewers. I think he's going to turn. We'll see Manning before it's all said and done.
And if you're new to the show, puffy pants means break out the puffy pants. It's hammer time. Remember, MC Hammer's video. Yeah, whatever. If I got to explain it to you, I mean, it is what it is. Go to Billy in East Baltimore. Billy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing, dude?
Man, first of all, before I say what I got to say, Mark, man, Zay Flowers broke my heart with that injury the other day. My heart dropped.
But yeah, I didn't see how he got hurt because he didn't twist.
He got a guy drilled him diving in. At first, I thought he like blew his knee.
I thought he tore his
then
ACL.
Then he dropped, and then you saw the contact come in inside of the knee. Oh, he was in pain for sure.
Oh, yeah.
If you really look at it, it was similar to a lowly nine RG3 situation, but I hope
nah,
not
that one
that
was good. Ugly. That was ugly. You couldn't. You didn't want to see the replay of that one.
Right, but that's what I got to say, guys. Now, if you think is anybody from the Ravens organization listening to this station today?
Oh, I'm sure the PR somebody Somebody's from PR is listening. Yeah,
Big Brother's either watching or listening there, Billy.
Well, I hope if they listening, I know the play. I know one play that can't no defense probably ever be able to stop. What y'all think about using Derrick Henry for the tush push?
Yeah, I got no problem
like
with that.
Like pushing Lamar in?
They use Andrews to do it.
Yeah.
They use Andrews to do it now. I mean, he's 265. So, I mean, to me, it's kind of the same type deal.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan won't come back. Childs Walker. Baltimore Sun, preview the wild card game with him. Get a health update from Baltimore coming out of one winning drive. Whip around 11:15. Talk about what's going on in the world of sports. Mainly some hoops happening last evening. And stay tuned for that. And then notes from the North, 11:30. We go to Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. Talking about their teams. Obviously, two of the three no longer part of the NFL fun. But what's their offseason going to look like? And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense, 11:45.